Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences, so everybody tune in. You're listening to I Can't Find You, But We Found Ourselves, a radio show basically about the self-discovery involving, well, the handicapped in a lot of ways. I'm Talk Dude. I'm your host. It's 9 o'clock on the dot. And I'm here with, well, go on, man, introduce yourself. Come on, while we're young.
Comedian Organic OK.
Yeah, that's right. The show is brought to you by Comedian Organic OK. And please, get involved. Tell us what you think. We're at 515-605-9709. That's 515-605-9709. All right. Anywho, it's like this. I got a lot of disabilities, and I wanted to tell you basically all about them. Sort of. That's kind of what we're doing the show, isn't it? Isn't it?
Man, this wake up for a moment. Let's truly wake up, everybody. You know, this show is about organic. Okay, it's not about cross contamination. So when he talk about his experience, it's his experience. When we talk about the organic in his experience, there's where the connection of the cross contamination being cleaned, right? So as he talk, he have to realize it's greater connection that's being generated from someone that you never heard, and it is resonating in something that is not cross-contamination, that's more inside of you. And they can feel the connection. We have to recognize Talk Dude and his ability to be who he is and be powerful within that moment that he's projecting upon an altitude that a lot of us don't necessarily, you know, find to be easy, because it's so much opposition to be at that level, to rise to the occasion.
Damn, you think you moved me in just those with that first little speech? If I wasn't on this show, I'd be ready to join your organization. I'm ready to enlist. Where do I sign up? Anywho, okay. Hey, look, tell me, on a guy with, on behalf of, speaking as a guy with this many disabilities, what do you want to know? What do you want to know? I'm ready to answer any question.
Well, one thing I want to know is, have you ever took the time to truly connect with being free more than what people have left you as a junkyard? People treat disabled like it's a junkyard.
Junkyard. That's true. We're looked at as broken. Obsolete. I mean, you have to do some kind of charity. I mean, people do it out of guilt, out of conscience. But there's just something about, I don't know. I mean, there's just something wrong with, when people are just defective in some way, they just kind of are freaking disposable. I mean, people either throw them out or they look at them like prey. Kids do that. They don't just shun them. They basically go out of their way to torture them. They look at them as the weak members of the herd to be picked off. That's a sad thing. Why? But it exists. Why? Because it's nature. What's nature, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't that nature?
See, one of the things you're doing too much. One of the things that you're doing too much.
Now you're going to critique me.
You're not appreciating you. You're talking about how people will view you as more of a comical relief from their own problems. And they look for you so you can embrace their problems more than it's your problem. So, once again, that is cross-contamination. We're not supposed to be sitting here and giving you those things, the magical gift you have, and how if you go to a place in your life and it was a most durable moment, It won't be you labeling disability. It won't be disability trying to label you. It will be you defining where all the magical elements have been, you know, put through this kind of perspective. And I think the uniform was created where society, when they find their great moments, they had to first tap in with people that are not disabled. And so that lets me think of disability disabled, physically, mentally, psychologically, and through the vibration levels to find their parts that they're looking for. So evidently, disability must start from people that's not disabled some kind of way. Let you know that disability is created. It's not something that people inherit necessarily. Now, there's some genes that there have been, you know, put together, but a lot of this stuff people are put in. It's not, it's like, when you go to, remember I was beginning the part, when you go to the most magical place of enjoying your life, you start seeing people. It's almost like seeing the very magical entity where people get rewards and honors. Like, it's that kind of status of greatness, and you start seeing people look like people you like and start talking to people, start hearing words that magically appears, and you start connecting. You start being redefined in your caring of being creative. Why be quiet?
Okay.
Because the backdrop to your soul must be highlighted in the vibration levels to rise to be heard. So those that feel an emotion, feel an opinion, it's not quiet. It's just, I want you to hear that moment in your thoughts.
Take it all in. That's what I was doing, like transcendental meditation, self-help, just eyes closed, deep, slow breathing, being reborn. They say that can save you no matter who you are.
Man, so if you connect into that organic
living.
Man.
Organic. So, organic something. That's the key. That's the key to the purification of world peace of all humanity in general, is it not?
I mean, see, you want to take clear and make it foggy with bad breath.
But,
you try to make something that a natural element. You take all these politics and elements. That kind of, in a sense, is like you open up an egg, right? You peel all the egg, and the person don't know what it is. They see the egg. And they start thinking, hey, it won't be too bad if I just eat over this. That's what this. When people, you heard the expression, the eggshell, right? Person feel like they're stepping on eggshells, right? It's so many things that from beginning point you keep stepping over you. How can I find you where everybody else is being pit in front of you? If you are hidden behind them as behind the stage, I can see why we want to see you, because you're the special part that people come to see. But if you're just hiding your ideas behind your greatness, then we can't really hear your greatness from things that are being, in a sense, distracted from a greater being in yourself.
But not just listen to me, anyone handicapped, let's listen to all of us.
That's a label. That's a label. When you see the handicap, I don't think the handicap. That's like saying, man, that's brand new. Like, brand new is brand new. You smell brand new. You know brand new. You're like, oh, that's brand new. Something's dirty. You're like, is that dirty or clean? You smell, oh, that's dirty. You know? You throw it at them. Disabled. Disabled. Oh. You know, you throw disabled at them as just something of, you know, why is it, I mean, if you know you have these things, why is it so much, it seems like molestation. It seems like molestation on disability. It's not like something like trying to rape them.
The simple sad scientific fact is that a lot of people don't want people in general rule to be free no matter who they are. People prey on each other. People oppress each other. They suck them dry. They basically put walls under them. They want to, look, they think, I'm going to help you. You're going to help me be free. You're going to help me be advantage. I'm going to shuck you like an oyster. I mean, they want to free themselves. It's not going to take you with them, you know.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Do you like oysters?
I don't really eat them. I don't really eat seafood.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So so the example you're making, it applies to the way that you see things. So if you see that you don't like oysters, then that's a perfect example for your experience with stuff. So what I'm saying to you is, see, I have to put this into the conversation because I've been bringing this up to you for a long time about this, right? What I'm about to tell you, and what I bring up, I've been saying a long time. Have I not? Come on, what I'm about to say has been on, and when I say this, he gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been telling him years and years and years and years and years. I said, just because you got Asperger's, Tourette's, scoliosis, and other health ailments, does that limit you to not have a very, very organic, super connected woman that have no elements of things that people would never think it come your way? That is the defining moment, I think, that I've been telling you for a long time. I said, why do you think that you're supposed to have an unattractive woman? What made you think that you can't have the most attractive woman you ever imagined to have? Have I not been telling you this a long time?
You said this, but basically my rebuttal, I agree. That'd be wonderful, but my rebuttal. Gods go with other gods. I mean, it's not like in the fairy tale where the beautiful princess kisses a frog and becomes a handsome prince. I mean, you got to kind of be a big shot to get a big shot. I mean, there's so many women out there who basically think they deserve Prince Charming when they're, well, not even Cinderella, they're a frog themselves. But they seem to think they're entitled to the keys to the kingdom. I ask myself, do I have enough going on to deserve something like that? What have I done to get to deserve, to really get somebody like that? And there are women who are basically kind of like beneath even me, but even they saw me, they're like, this guy is handicapped. He's not my vision of a dreamboat.
All right, sir. All right, so are we going to be organic and honest to the whole freedom, right? Because the desire that you present, that you have been, in a sense, you know, you've been carrying this, you know, this kind of mirror. In the mirror you've been looking at, it's not even a mirror. It's not really a mirror you've been looking at. You've been looking at an actual box. And in the box, it got all these ugly images and ugly kind of, you know, costume-like things. And all you're doing is, like, spinning this in circles, and you're hearing a voice. And that's the only thing you see. You're not seeing what magical women that connect with you. You see a woman that don't see you because they don't see themselves, right? And every time they see you, they don't see the greater things within you because they have not connected. They have not been tuned in. They have not heard the vibration levels of your thoughts. They haven't heard the internal things that your magical mind will appear, and how many people out there around the world would really see you on another level. But you sit there in this little tiny perspective of women that don't see. They are really, those are really the ones that allow this real, you are in the actual world, and you seen the drops. And where the drops, sometimes you see things that go through evil places and come out through a very clean and purified place, right? Isolated. The isolated ugliness of destruction, it's actually in a place where birth of greatness comes. You're actually in that place with your mind. If you go around the world, it's so many, not just around the world, but around the thought that our mind actually carries, you'll find so many amazing opportunities and women that are looking for you that you ain't even given an opportunity or chance to even see you.
It's 9:15 here on the program. I can't find you, but we found ourselves. please join this conversation. Let's make it a three-way. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. You know, in a way, it might be nice to leave a lot of all this behind. I stand on my own.
Come on now. You can't sit there and say the actual life you're living is really the is like you have sat there and opened up a door, and this door you've been opening up is a door that goes in and out both ways. And if you only set the door to open up when you touch it and when you unlock the door and it's on a lock, if it ain't open up as a magnet and actually it goes both ways. You're not actually presenting yourself for a woman to even get you the way that you think. You're telling this woman, hey, all I want is ugly women. All I'm taking is ugly women. And what you're doing, you know what you're doing is? You're discriminating. You're discriminating. You're really discriminating. It's in your mind telling you, look at this. The worst thing could happen to you. It ain't happening to you. The worst thing that happened to you is already been locked in you because you haven't freed yourself. When you start seeing, truly, we start seeing what you can, man, you. I know. I've seen a lot of types of people, all types of people. And one of the things I know is the desire of what someone could be and the freedom that they possess. As the other part of the component meets the actual connection, it locks in and it becomes so magical. It's not a coincidence you see all these different types of people. What people you'd be like, well, I never necessarily seen things that way. I've seen it like stability, and you have people that try to carry this facade to make the narrative look worse or better because they want to undermine the natural elements, right? It's like, you see a tree, do a tree normally look as good as the fruit that's grown on the tree?
No, it holds. I mean, it's all in the eye of the beholder, but so not especially.
Who are you talking to? What beholder was telling you that you inherit a woman that looked funny, ugly, emotionally, giving you the insecurities of, well, I'm trying to figure out where that came in at, okay? People say, what is it saying? Beauty's in the eyes of the beholder?
That's right. Old saying, but it's true.
Okay. So what beholder is holding you to tell you that ugly woman is the destiny of your desire? What is ugly? Let's go over this, though. Do we have time to go over this for a minute?
Okay.
Okay. So what is really ugly? Because ugly is really in our fantasy like a horror movie or some kind of play. It's something that we're making up as we go along. If we looked at the times back in the time when we, you know, the horror movies and things like that, they show you who looked at, you know, they show, I'm not going to say the brand, but you know who I'm talking about, the horror one. They used to show the program and they make this, you know, this character come alive and they make the, like, it could be other things. You know what I mean? Like, that ugly can be all kind of ways. The ugly can be not just physically. It can be psychologically. It can be systemic depression where ugly is there for, you know, like almost like a curse, right? And that can be in a place where something could be very attractive and is oppressed as it's ugly. And it could be set up where something that looks good is being free by something that's ugly, and that's really where ugly have been attached to good in a pressing way, where ugly is more treated as a slave element prior to actually being free, to be free, and that would be a natural element where that's really beauty, where beauty can really sustain, right? So
yeah,
that's the element. Thank you. Allow me to say that.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
I have hopes and dreams that I take off because I know even the ugliest celebrity can nail the hottest babe if his career is just really taking off. It's like you notice the ugliest rock star can nail the hottest supermodel. Stigmata there. Yeah, power
you know,
don't matter for easy effort to success.
This reminds me of a lottery.
Yeah.
Good looks is almost like a lottery. Like, a person that tends to be in a lottery that don't win quite often is a person that always talking about what they're going to do with the money, what they're going to do this and this and this. They already thinking about them spending the money. And then the person that wins quite often is a person that didn't even think about that. That's the last thing on their mind. And that's when they talk about how beauty is. They talk about beauty, oh, this beauty person, oh, I would do this to the beautiful person. And the person that built the beauty person, you wouldn't think that was with the beauty person. So it's not necessarily, you know, just straightforward the way that people think of it, but it's a very natural connection to that element. It's something about ingredients that come out, and it just resonates, right? So you could be a guy that didn't take a bath in 6 months and then find the most hottest woman. And she's like, they're like, why are you with that guy that got Tourette's? And what he got, Tourette's and Asperger's, scoliosis? Why are you with him for? And then once that happened magically, people would be saying, man, is there any more of them guys out there? They'd be looking for worse. They'd be thinking it's worse to make it better. And it's, you see what I'm saying, how that magic works? People looking for worse. You know, people will be looking for worse, and people will be trying to act like they got it just to get a good one. That's how important that could be. So let's talk about, as you want to, you know, date this magical space, is that not an opportunity that you're going to give an attractive woman? Are you going, when you get an attractive woman coming your way, are you going to deny her the opportunity?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, if I get the opportunity, plus with a single step, I know.
You know, he talked about this, and so he would have more of an experience of positivity than he would have negativity. He'd have so much positivity, he'd feel like the disability was with the pretty one. It's funny about that, how that worked, man. The thing that you're scared of, the thing that you think that you're lacking, it's the things that you're scared of being too successful in that opportunity. It's not that, oh, the ugly is something that people want to say is this kind of phobia, but the ugly can lie in other departments. You can free yourself and then become free and then think about what ugly means, and you can be more hostage in your own mindset of what ugly is compared to what the ugly have been portrayed as.
Wow, this whole thing is like therapy. You're not just telling me what I want to hear, what I need to hear. You're telling me what every person, period, needs to hear. And you know what? I'm hoping people out there are listening, but I'm wondering because, dang it, I keep basically dropping our number. No one's calling in to get their 2 cents. Seriously, where are you people? I know everybody's busy, but, I mean, come on. It's later at night, and we're giving you pearls of wisdom here. Where are you?
You know what? It's one of these things. A magical moment is not supposed to be seduced by an entourage of people stampeding to destroy them. A magical moment is more digested at the time that is more intimate in clarity of faith and peace of a greater mind. So it's not so much important to have a lot of people. It's about the actual abilities that you're doing. You change people a lot for the better. That one moment of changing someone from the misery and pain would be more cherished than having a group of people that are being destroyed by a lynching perspective of, you know, this kind of, you know, buzzards and people that are praying, you know. So it got a place in time for every group of people, right? Are individual, you know, things that you must, you know, realize. Sometimes being quiet is not even being quiet. Sometimes quiet is really talking in a voice that the experience is learning and appreciating from that place of your experience. What do you got to say about that? What is your opinion?
Well, here's a question I want to ask everybody out there in Radio Land. Tell me, what's your experience? Before you take all these pearls of wisdom, take a moment to think about your day-to-day. What experiences do you have? What are you experiencing right now? What are you experiencing most of your life? What are you experiencing now? And what would you rather experience? What do you want? What do you want your life to be? Now, there's a philosophy. Some people believe that basically for everybody who wins, many more lose. Maybe. But that depends. What are your goals? What are your hopes and dreams? Well, we've been listening to everything we've been saying tonight, but also ask yourself at the same time, where am I right now? What do I want to change about myself? And I'm not telling you to basically start being down, start feeling sorry for yourself, start kicking your own ass, so to speak. We did too much of that already. But I'm asking, what do you want out of life?
Well, one of the things that is quite often, you look at the winning setup of people as they accomplish things, they carry people that lose more as winners than people that actually, you know, accomplish their own, you know, individual status at moments. And they allow the person to live more higher than they're living, and then it becomes a sense of entitlement that the loser actually demonstrates. And so often, that is really what we're dealing with. We're not really dealing with losing. We're dealing with the losing entitlement issues at moments than people that necessarily win. Because we have winners have different setups, right? So you have people that at different levels they win, right? Different levels that people win. But then you have things that people potentially included people that don't have what is needed, and they are pitting, just in a sense, we're not talking about, you know, about ugly. It's a lot of ugly setups in things, right? People, just because they got a gift in one department, don't mean they have a gift in everything. But collectively, we all work together and utilize those things, then we are collectively exchanging greater moments than lesser greatness. Come on now.
No. My turn. Now, come on. 3 minutes to go. Let me do it. Let me take the reins. Organic living can save everybody right now. I'm speaking of myself here as personally handicapped. Organic living. I'm not just talking about food that naturally grows from the earth and is not bathed, drowned in pesticides and chemicals. Nope. Okay, that automatic British voice is telling us to hurry up. Okay, so let me just try to move this along. Organic living can save everybody. I know for a long time, basically, look, being a hippie was cool in the 60s and 70s, but then at some point the majority of hippies just got on people's nerves. But now we're living in a time with all these economic global stuff, whatever. Organic living is coming to style. Organic living really can save everybody. And, you know, we ought to be thinking organically. I hear you. Damn you. All right. The point being, take a moment, step by step, to learn how to live a little bit organic. Now, see, it's like going vegan. Now, you basically start by eating less meat, less dairy, more vegetables. Then you basically stop eating meat altogether. And before you know it, you make a point not to do anything animal-based. It's a transition. Doesn't happen overnight. You cross over into organicism. Some people might be daunted by this because they're going to say, well, come on, how am I going to live like that? I mean, I'm too set in my ways and whatever. It's a slow process. It does not happen overnight. I want to thank you all for listening. You've been listening to I Can't Find You, But We Found Ourselves.
And this is Comedian Organic OK.
And talk to, dude. Tune in next week around this same time. Well, 9 o'clock on the dot. It is 9:29 here on the program, and we're calling it a night. Thank you for listening. And if you weren't here live, hopefully you'll pick up this recording and decide to change your life just a little bit. Thank you. Is that it? Okay, let me just pull the plug on this. Good night. And please, come back again next week. Listen when the show's actually live on the air this time. That's the whole point of where you're supposed to be listening to this live. Dang.